how to walk in the blessings of God, and I want you to write this down in your notes. We're going to be looking now at an area that I call your heritage of blessing. Your heritage of blessing. We've looked at the reality and the origin of blessings and curses. We saw that last night. We've just looked at your mechanism of choice. How do you make a choice? It's with your heart, your mouth, and what you do with your feet. And now we want to look at what I call your heritage of blessing. It's your heritage. It's not something you've got to go earn. It's not something that you've got to be good enough and hope that maybe you can please God to get. Honey, you've got it. Maybe you don't realize it, but you've got it. If you're a Christian, you've got it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me to Ephesians 1, and let's begin with verse 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know grace and peace are very important in the Christian walk? I don't know about you, but somebody says, well, I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, I don't want to take the next busload, if you know what I mean. I'm ready to go to heaven, but not the next busload. And while I'm down here, I need peace. I want God's peace. I don't want to live a life of torment, of mental anguish. And I want God's grace, write this in your notes, which equals God's ability. God's grace is God's ability. It's not only God's unmerited favor, it's God's ability to help you do and be what He's called you to be. So he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now mark verse 3, circle verse 3, never forget verse 3. It tells us about the blessing, heritage that you have. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, mark it, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, mark it, who hath, please notice the tense, it doesn't say one day will, it doesn't say in the sweet by and by, it doesn't say when you die and go to heaven, please mark it, it says who hath, everybody say he has done it.
Yes.
Oh, say it like you mean it, he has done it.
Yes.
It says who has blessed us, circle the word all, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, the reason you are blessed, the reason I am blessed, is not because of my goodness, it's not because of your goodness, it's all wrapped up in Christ. It's what Jesus has done. When Jesus died for us, He not only died to cover our sins and to cleanse us from our sins, He died that we would qualify for all of God's resources, all of God's provision, all that God is and has in heavenly places is now available unto us. Hallelujah. And the way you tap into that is what we've just studied. You tap into that by beginning to see it, beginning to say it, and by faith beginning to move forward and doing it. And that is the release of those blessings into your life. Somebody says, well, it says spiritual blessings there. Well, we're gonna talk about that further in a moment. But let me say this. If you get it in the spirit, you'll get it in the natural. The spirit is always higher than the natural. The spirit world is higher than the natural world. In fact, the spiritual world is where the real battle is. The things that are happening in the natural are determined by things that are happening in the spiritual. The wars that exist on this planet, we know of them now, like in Bosnia and former Yugoslavia and all these difficulties that are happening. They are mere reflections of spiritual battles and warfares that are taking place. It's the real battle is in the spiritual arena. The Apostle Paul says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. See, it's real tempting to say, well, here's where the problem is. He says, but our battle is with principalities, powers, wicked spirits in high places. That's where the real arena is. Now watch this. If God has cleared the path in the spirit realm for all those blessings to be made available unto us, guess what? It's just a matter of learning the simple keys of faith to take it from the spirit realm into the natural. So not only do you have spiritual blessings, you will find this in a moment, I'll show you this in a moment, you have material blessings. Because the spirit determines the material. The spirit world determines what happens in the natural or the material world. Now he begins to highlight and outline, he gives us a wonderful overview. Everybody say overview. He gives us a wonderful overview of what some of these blessings are. Verse 4. Now, I'm going to go quickly, so mark these in your Bible. We cannot labor over any one of these verses for the sake of time. But verse 4, he begins to itemize what these blessings are, according as he hath chosen us. You ought to mark that. You're chosen. You're not rejected. You're chosen. Somebody says that you're, you know, no good or you're worthless. Don't listen to them. Listen to what God says. You're chosen. And so one of your blessings is that you're chosen by God. God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. Well, if He sent the most precious, valuable thing in the entire universe to die for you, would He hold back any lesser blessing? Would He hold back anything? No, He wouldn't. So the first thing is that, praise God, He loved you enough, He chose you, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Go to verse 5. Having predestined us unto, mark this, adoption of children. You're adopted. You're part of the family. You're part of the family. See, the thing about being born into a family, into a natural family, that can be a blessing or a curse, whatever kind of family you're born into. But the thing about being born in the natural into a family is they got you whether they want you or not. But when you adopt somebody because you want them. Are you seeing that? You adopt somebody because you want them. And so He wants you. You are adopted and you're part of the family. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Mark that. You are accepted by God. You are not rejected. You are accepted in the Beloved. In other words, in Christ. So these are wonderful blessings that you need to be made aware of. You're accepted. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Part of your blessing package, hallelujah. Part of that blessing package is that you have redemption. You've been bought back. You've been purchased back from the devil. You don't belong to the devil anymore. Do you know what it means to redeem coupons? It means you go down there and they give you what? You buy back, as it were, that discount. Or you buy back something. Jesus, through His blood, has bought you back from the devil. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Mark that. You've got wisdom. You've got God's wisdom. You're smart. Everybody say, I'm smart.
I'm smart.
Amen. Some of you may not believe that, but you just need to call things that may be not as though they were. Praise God. You just say, I'm smart. I've got God's wisdom. That's part of the blessing package. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Circle the phrase, His will. We know what God's will is. You say, well, what is God's will? I'll tell you what God's will is. Everything will bow its knee to Jesus. The whole purpose and destiny of everything, history itself is wrapped up in who Jesus is. History itself is wrapped up in who Jesus is. And you mark my word, because it's the Word of God. This entire world that we see, we get it. I said we get it. It's going to be a shock to all these corporations that have built these big skyscrapers and own all these big jets and all that. Who it's going to end up in the hands of? It's going to end up in the hands of Jesus and the believers. You need to understand, we're not going to heaven to eat gumdrops. We're not going to heaven to eat gumdrops and, you know, happily ever after we'll be. The Bible teaches that for 1,000 years, Jesus is coming with His saints to the earth to rule and reign on this physical earth to prove. For 1,000 years, He wants to do it. Why? He wants to prove that if you guys had done it the way I said, it would have been a paradise. A paradise on earth. The earth would have been a paradise. And so for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Him. And I think many times Christians don't realize that the reality of this is that it won't just be, you know, clouds and eating gumdrops. We are going to rule and reign on this earth in our resurrected bodies with Jesus. All the buildings, all the equipment, everything that's here, we will take over. The meek shall literally inherit the earth. It's yours. Well, let's start getting some of it now. Amen. That's the way I feel about it. Verse 9. Having made known unto the mystery of His will, according as to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And He says it here, verse 10, that in the fullness of times He might gather together in one, mark it, all things in Christ. Everything's going to come under Him. Look at verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's what we're talking about, your heritage of blessing. You've got an inheritance. You've got an inheritance. And it's wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard it, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, mark it, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. And that inheritance, look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The way that you're going to tap into the inheritance, the heritage of blessing, is you've got to get to know the Holy Spirit. You've got to get to know the Holy Spirit, and you've got to understand simple faith. That'll get you right in to taking part of your blessing, pulling it from the spirit realm, as it were, into the natural. But you're going to have to fight for it. Write that down. You're going to have to fight for it. See, lest you just think all this is automatic, go over to chapter 6, and we'll read some verses over there. Unless you think this is just automatic, you're going to have to fight for it. And you know where the primary realm of fighting occurs?
Yes.
It occurs in the spirit by what you're saying, in the spirit by what you're praying, in the spirit by what you're declaring. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, well, I declare? Down in the South here, they say that. Now, it's interesting. You go around different parts of the country, like I do, and they have different sayings. And I ran into one of the most bizarre sayings I've ever heard up in Maine this year. I was up in Maine, and I was in this little craft store, and they had candy. And I said, is that candy any good? And the lady said, it's wicked good. And I went. She said, that's the phrase they use up there. It's wicked good. It's kind of like someplace they say it's bad, but when they say it's bad, they mean it's good. It's bad, man. It's bad. Well, I guess that means it's good. Up there, it's wicked good. And I said, excuse me? She said, it's wicked good. And I said, I just said it. I said, well, how could something be both wicked and good? And she said, well, I've never thought about that. We just say that up here. It's wicked good. Well, in the South, they say, well, I declare. Have you ever heard that? Well, I declare. What do you declare? Well, I'll be. What will you be? Tell me. Go ahead. Preach it. Do tell. You ever heard about do tell? Well, go ahead and tell it. What do you tell? What do you declare and what will you be? Great day in the morning. You ever heard that? Why not a great day today? Why does it have to always be in the morning? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so there's this realm of declaration. We talked about that last night. There's the realm that not only do you understand your heritage of blessing, you've got to understand the way that you get into that blessing is you must be an enforcer of God's will. Just like a policeman is an enforcer, the devil's not going to roll over and play dead. And you're going to have to I declare. I said you're going to have to I declare. And you're going to have to I'll be. And you're going to have to do tell. And where do you do that? In the Spirit. In prayer. In what you say, in what you see. That is the way that you enforce your choice for blessing. Ephesians 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You ought to mark that. It's not in your effort, it's in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now please mark that. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, to hear some Christians talk, now these are saved folks, I'm talking about good folks, and I don't want to, you know, be ugly to anybody, but I also must be forthright in what I preach and expound upon. But there, to hear some Christians talk, everything that happens in the world is God. You know, well, God allowed that. That's kind of, you know, being mean to God. If everything in the world is God, why does it say put on the whole armor of God? It says put on the whole armor of God because there's a devil shooting at you. Praise God. Are you hearing me? Not everything that happens in the world is of God. I do not know how to fully explain and communicate to you the sovereignty of God, which I believe is a qualified sovereignty. What do I mean by that? Yes, I believe God is totally in control through His people's faith and obedience. He's not just automatically in control when we disobey Him. He is in control through our faith and our obedience. He is a sovereign God, but He's qualified it. What do I mean by qualified? The way God has set it up is He works through people. Angels are not out here preaching the gospel. People are preaching the gospel. And so, yes, He is the master of the universe, but He has put within man this realm of choice and decision making, and to that degree, He has limited Himself. This is an awesome thought. He has limited Himself to our cooperation with Him. Do you believe that? If you don't cooperate with God, then God Himself can't help you.
That's right.
Unless somebody's kind enough to intercede for you and they start cooperating with God on your account. See? But look here in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That phrase wiles means the plans, the schemes, the plans and the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle. Please mark that. Never forget it. For we wrestle. It's not patty cake. It's wrestling. It's not patty cake, patty cake. One potato, two potato, three potato. It's wrestling. You ever seen these guys wrestle? I mean, you know, these. I know it's got to be fake. They kill people to do that. You know, they get up on the wires. Wah! They do these body slams. They come down. Wah! Maybe they pick these guys up, throw them down. You got to understand, we're in a wrestling match. And so you're going to have to, in a sense, watch this, wrestle for your blessing. You're going to have to wrestle for your blessing. How do you wrestle? You wrestle in the arena of prayer. This whole passage on the armor of God builds up to verses 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation. Go down to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what do you do with it? Mark it. Pray ye. You've got to get in that arena of prayer. You've got to stand before God in the privacy of your home or your office or in your bedroom or wherever you spend time with God, maybe drive in the car, and you need to start making declarations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that airplane is coming to me. Thank you, Jesus, that home is coming to me. Thank you, Lord, my feet are being directed by you. I acknowledge you in all my ways. And I just say to the spirit realm, thank you, Jesus, that home is coming to me. Thank you, Lord, that you're making the way for me to be a missionary. Thank God I'll go to China. Yes, I'll go to China. I'll preach the gospel to a great crusade. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to make the way. You're bringing the contacts. You're bringing the finances. You're bringing the partners. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you've got the call on me, and I enforce it in the spirit realm with my... I declare.
Yes.
You hearing me?
Yes.
I'll be. Do tell. You ever heard people say silly things? Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Go ahead. I don't touch that one, but you can have it if that's what you, that's what you'll be. I'll be a monkey's uncle. Great day in the morning. I say great day today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, what do you declare? Do tell. Do say. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, honey, listen. Those demons, they're not totally smart and they're not totally stupid either. I mean, they're somewhere in the middle there. But they will wrestle. And at times they will buffet you and try to harass you. You remember the Apostle Paul? He was on his way to Rome. A storm gets whipped up. Shipwrecked. I mean, the devil took the ship right out from under him. But Paul stood in faith. Jesus appeared to him before the ship sank and said, I give unto you your life and all the lives with you. But you tell them they better stay in the boat. Remember that? Paul went out there and told them, here's the instructions, guys. If you want to live, stay in the boat. Doesn't make sense. We're getting out of the boat. You better stay in the boat. Because Jesus of Nazareth just appeared before me, and here's the instructions. We must obey His voice. Stay in the boat. We must obey His voice. They get shipwrecked on an island. You talk about an attitude. We're talking about a positive attitude. That's when most Christians would have been. Well, I tell you, if God had been in this, we wouldn't have had a storm. That's the way most charismatics would be thinking these days. Most charismatics, they just think, you know, well, if God's in it, you know, we it's just patty cake all the way. We never have any problems. Who are you kidding? He says, we wrestle, not against flesh and blood. And it's implied, let me just read it this way, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's times, verse 13, mark it, there's times, he says, having done all, stand. There's times that all you can do is just stand. And again, I cannot fully explain all the ins and outs of spiritual warfare and all that works. I just know it exists. And I know there's times where I take great strides and it seems like I make great progress. And there's other times it's all I can do just to stand.
Amen.
But I know that it's up to me to wrestle with my prayer declarations. It's up to me to wrestle with my prayer decrees. It's up to me to stand there and to decree in the spirit realm what God has shown me in my heart. I will be on radio from coast to coast with the most. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Coast to coast with the most. Amen. Father, I just thank you that the radio is paying for itself. And beyond that, I didn't get into this break even. It's making money, praise God.
Amen.
Why is it making money? So I can get on more stations, silly. Praise the Lord. You don't just go down there and say, hi, I'm clergy. I'd like to be on your radio station. Amen. You don't walk up to Delta and say, hi, I'm clergy. They'll say, we're Delta. Are you hearing me? And I try to communicate this to the missionaries that come to us. Oh, Brother Peoples, God's called me to go to Africa. He's called me to go to China. He's called me to go to Ooga Booga Land, whatever that is, you know. And I just know God's called me to do that. Well, okay, let's talk about that. I agree with you. God's called you to do that. Let's talk about how you're going to cooperate with God. Cooperate with God? Aren't you going to pay my way? And aren't you? Have you been to Bible school at all? Well, no, sir, I haven't been to Bible school. Well, that might be a good idea. Let's start there. Do you know the Mooga Booga language? You know the Mooga Booga language? No, I don't know the Mooga Booga language. I just thought I'd speak in tongues and they'd understand me. Well, go ahead and try that. Shandai means the same thing down there. It means Shandai. Amen. You hearing me? I mean, I'm just telling you like it is. Praise God. So we got to go to Bible school. We got to go learn the Mooga Booga language. I said, you got to have some money. I said, you got to have... Well, brother, I'm just not that kind of person to have to raise money. Well, you don't believe in your vision very much, do you? Huh? I mean, what if the businessman said, well, sir, I'm just not that kind of person to have to come in at 8 o'clock in the morning. Do you think you'd get a paycheck come Friday? In other words, you got to put the seed in. I said, you got to put the seed in. The Bible says they that preach the gospel will live of the gospel. And so, you know, I teach them these practical things. Bless God, you got to wrestle for it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How do you wrestle? Mark verse 18, praying. Say it.
Praying.
Say it.
Praying.
Now, I don't know what that conjures up in your mind. Prayer means different things to different people. For some people, it means a sleep session. Praying. It kind of reminds us of back in the denominational days when they'd say, let's bow our heads for a few moments of silent meditation. You know, I heard one guy, he said he slipped up and said, let's bow our heads for a few moments of silent medication. And it does about the same thing, you know, knocks you out. And most of those sessions where they say, let's bow our heads for a few moments of silent meditation, I dare say you'd be blessed to have 10% out there really praying. Most of them are out there just massaging their eyebrows. Oh, yes. 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 You praying, brother? Oh, yes. What are you praying? Yes. I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know what prayer means to you, but prayer means to me to get before God and just begin to declare and decree in the Spirit. Take His own word. Begin to enforce that word into the atmosphere. Begin to believe it in your heart. See it with the eye of your faith. Begin to say it. Tell the devil to back up. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And begin to loose and enforce the word of God. That's where you're going to get your blessing. You're going to have to wrestle for your blessing. You say, well, you mean I've got to wrestle it from God? No, no, no. You misread it. You're wrestling the devil. Praise God. You're wrestling the devil. The blessings have been made available to you. 2 Peter. Go with me to 2 Peter. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Now, see, most Christians don't have that attitude. 2 Peter. Most Christians just think, well, if it happens, you know, it's from God. Well, you just go tell that to the little boy that, you know, got run over by a truck. God ran you over with a truck to teach you something. That doesn't mean a whole lot to him. You just go tell those precious people in Bosnia that they're torturing. You say, well, they're Muslims. God loves Muslims. God loves Buddhists. God loves all of His children.
Yeah.
They just need to learn about Jesus and be brought into the family of God. But, I mean, God loves them.
Right.
You just go tell them, well, you know, this is happening to you. God sent this. The devil sent it. The devil sent it. The devil is in people. They're called demon-possessed soldiers that are doing these things. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Mark them in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied. That's interesting. Did you know the peace of God is something that can multiply in your life?
Yeah.
We tend to think, well, I either got it or don't. I've got the peace of God or don't. Did you know it can multiply and increase in your life? It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According, ooh, I love it. Mark it. According as His divine power has, notice the tense, has, not one day will, has given unto us, here's that word again, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Already been done. Already been done. In the spirit realm, it's already yours. Now just get in there with your declarations and decrees and prayers and wrestle for it and get it. Praise God. He says, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Aren't you glad He didn't just say godliness? Aren't you glad He didn't just say all things for godliness? Then we would have been back to, well, I guess God gives us, you know, sweet things like joy and peace and self-control. He said everything that you need, not only for godliness, but for life. I need finances for life. I need transportation for life. I need food for life. I need good relationships for life. I need an airplane for the ministry. That missionary, he needs a sound system for his crusades. I mean, you can't just get up there and shout to 20,000 people. He needs some things, praise God. Everything you need for life and godliness has been provided. Through the knowledge, you got to know about it, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now mark verse 4. Verse 4 is the how you get it verse. Somebody says, well, that's great that it's up there. How do I get it? Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us, mark it, exceeding great and precious promises. It's the promises appropriated by faith that tie you in to the all things. It's the promises appropriated by faith that tie you in to the all things. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? It's by the promises that you are partakers. How many of you want to be a partaker? It's one thing to look at that piece of pie at the cafeteria. It's another thing to partake of that piece of pie. It's one thing to know about the blessings. It's another thing to partake of the blessings. It's another thing to know about the medicine. It's another thing to partake of the medicine. You know, if the doctor said, oh yes, we understand your problem. and we have this medicine. Oh, it's wonderful medicine. It's exceeding great medicine. Well, I want some of it. The only way you get it is you take the little pills that have the medicine in there. Am I right? In other words, well, I'm not that kind of person that would take little pills, but I want the medicine. Honey, you can't get the medicine in your system unless you put the pills in your mouth. Now, he's saying all things for life and godliness. Well, Lord, how do I get them? You take the little gospels. Get that? The gospels, which are the promises of God. It's the promises of God that contain the medicine, the resources. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Be like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know the world is corrupted by lust. The world says, well, the way you get money is you step on anybody you have to get to the top. They're corrupted by lust. The way the world says you get anything is it's through lust. The way God says you get it, it's through the promises. You just escape that corruption that's in the world through lust, and you just get your faith in the promises of God, learn how to cooperate with God. That ties you into all things for life and godliness. All things for life and godliness. All things for life and godliness. Romans chapter 4. Now, it's through your decrees, Romans chapter 4. It's through your decrees. It's through your declarations. It's through what I call your prayer proclamations. What you are saying into the Spirit that you call these blessings. You got to call them. When I was sitting in that van and I was praying over airplanes, I was seeing myself as a pilot. I was seeing myself one day as the owner of an aircraft. I was calling it. I was calling it by praying and saying, I was calling it. It's magnetic. It calls it. People that go around talking bad about themselves or about others, you know what? They're calling the curses. They're calling the curses. Well, I'm no good. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'll never amount to anything, you know. What do they do? They're calling curses upon their own life. I mean, the devil's not having to wrestle them too bad, is he? I mean, they're tag team wrestling with the devil. The devil just dances around them. You're an idiot. And they go, I'm an idiot. You're stupid. I'm stupid. You'll always be depressed. I'll always be depressed. The devil just go, wow, man, this guy's on our side. That's great. Don't even have to do a body slam on him. They're just already slamming him. Romans 4. I want us to look at this. I want us to look at Abraham. And I want to look at how he had to stand in faith for the child of promise. My memory serves me right. You know, some people say, well, look, Brother Peebles, I have stood and stood. Lord knows how I've stood over this thing. I have believed God for 7 days. Wow, well, we'll put you in the, you know, hero of faith chapter. 7 days. Or some of us, if we're a little more determined, we think, Brother Peebles, listen, I have stood for about 5 years on this thing. You know why they got in the chapter of faith? Noah was preaching for at least 100 years while he was building the ark. Can you imagine? 100 years building the ark as a preacher of righteousness, and everybody, you know, by the third year, everybody's going, he's building a boat. How's the boat doing, Noah? Noah, have you ever thought, where's the lake? I mean, can you just imagine 100 years? Part of faith is endurance. Part of faith is endurance. Anybody can believe God for a day. How about 100 years? Now, if my memory serves me right, Abraham was believing for the child of promise 25 years. Somewhere thereabouts. 25 years. Anybody can believe for a year. I'm telling you, you got to get mean in the spirit. You just got to stand in the devil's face and say, I'm not taking no for an answer. You get out of my way. And there may be times that all you can do is stand, but you're standing. You're not sitting, you're standing. Just how much do you believe in those blessings? Romans 4, let's begin with verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee... Now this is what God said to him. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now you ought to mark that. I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, I want to ask you a question before we even read the rest of that verse. Look at me. When did God say to Abraham, I've made thee a father of many nations? Was it after the son was born or before?
Before.
You mean God would say something as though it were before?
Yes.
You mean God would call him a father of many nations before?
Yes.
That's exactly the way God operates. God said, let there be light. Did he say it once the light was turned on?
No.
Dark.
God said, let there be light, and there was what?
Light.
Tells you how God operates, doesn't it? As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Abraham believed him. Even God, marks this, here's how God operates, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Ooh, I like that. He calleth things that be not as though they were. You know what I mean by that? Abraham was not a father of many nations. He wasn't even a father of one child yet. And God came to him and called things that be not, I have made thee a father of many nations, before they were. Brother Peebles, that's quite complicated. I don't believe I can get a hold of that calling things. Have you ever heard about calling your cat? Now, we don't think it's strange when we see our neighbor out on the back porch going, eee, kitty, 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 kitty. Kitty, call me, kitty, 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 kitty. We don't go, oh boy, that guy's crazy, man. He's calling the cat. Honey, he's calling the cat again. I guess it would be crazy if he didn't own a cat. Let's say he owns a cat. He's out there. Now, we have no problem in the natural with calling the cat. Or the dog, or little Johnny, or whoever they call. We have no problem with that. Now, let me ask you this. Would that guy be calling Kitty if Kitty were sitting right here? That would be strange. To see your neighbor out there with the cat sitting right by him, the cat just looking up at him, and the guy's going, yee, kitty, 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 kitty. You'd feel like going, bless God, the cat's right there. You don't call things that be. You call things that be not. As though they were. And when you call Kitty, who will probably come?
Kitty.
Oh, we got a smart group here. Now, just to illustrate this even further, and maybe this is plainer than vanilla, but I mean, I just want to say it to you. When you call Kitty, Johnny shouldn't come. If he comes, pray for Johnny. Because he thinks he's Kitty. But when that little neighbor's out there going, yeah, kitty, 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 I mean, you'd be really amazed if those, Mom, did you call me? Not unless you like to eat Friskies. What are you doing here? Point being, if you call the blessings, you'll get the
blessings.
If you call the curses, you'll get the
curses.
We're making sense here.
Yeah.
Are we connecting?
Yeah.
What are you calling?
Blessings.
Well, I declare, Brother Peebles. Go ahead, declare. What will you declare? I'll be. Go ahead. What will you be? Well, I'll be poor. I'll be, you know, I'll be in poverty. I'll not have this. I'll have a house. I'll have abundance. I'll have a job. I'll go to that college. Listen, we have a tremendous testimony in our Thank You Jesus file. I read one of our Thank You Jesus letters last night regarding what our radio broadcast has been doing. Tremendous letter of testimony. We've got this testimony of this girl in Garden City, Kansas. True story. This last, 18 months or so. Jeff and I were out in Garden City, Kansas. How many of you realize you can be strong in some areas and weak in others?
Yeah.
We're all like that. And this pastor, I want you to know, this pastor is a man of faith. He's a man of God. Man, he went in there and pioneered a church, started a very successful church, beautiful auditorium, the whole bit. But how many of you realize you can be strong in certain areas and over here your faith just not developed? Maybe you hadn't taken the time to develop it. Or maybe you've got this mental block about that working. But we were sitting around the dinner table, and we were talking, and his daughter was sitting there. His daughter's name's Gail. I believe that's right, Gail. And, you know, just that conversation, we said, and Gail, what would you like to do? And she said, well, I want to be a registered nurse. And she was getting out of high school. And we said, well, that's great. Where do you want to go to school? She said, well, I'd like to go to Oral Roberts University, but I'm afraid we can't afford it. I declare. You declare. We all declare. And, that was like saying sick 'em. Because Jeff is a graduate of Oral Roberts University. I'm a graduate of Oral Roberts University. Martha's a graduate of Oral. I mean, you know, we're ORU all the way. Go ORU. Go ORU. And so she said, but I'm afraid we can't afford it. We started saying, oh, you can afford it. God could do a miracle. Have you even tried? Listen, fear will try to keep you from even trying. Fear will try to keep you from even trying. Fear will keep you from even going looking at a house. Fear will keep you from even going looking at an airplane. Fear will even keep you from going and even trying. Listen, we began to give her testimonies and encouragement. You need to try, Gail. You need to at least try. Start believing God could do it, you know. Call things that be not as though they were. Turns out this girl has been a straight A student all through high school. 4.0. That's got to count for something. There's got to be some 4.0 scholarship out there somewhere. Turns out she was a congressional exchange student to Bremen, Germany. And she was like in the Who's Who book or whatever that is, because I don't know about it because I wasn't in there. Hey, she was in that thing. We began to understand this. Hey, you need to at least go and try. I've got her letter of thank you. Thank you, Jesus letter. Now, if you write me an ugly letter, I just throw it away. I don't put it in my thank you, Jesus file. Amen. I just delete you from the computer. That's it. You know, you're gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. People that, you know, write me ugly letters. I don't believe in you. I hate. I mean, I tell a second. I don't even want to read them anymore. Just throw them away. Praise God. And so anyway, I got this letter. And she says, thank you for encouraging me to at least try. Turns out she goes down there with her father. Now, see, her father had chimed in right at the table. Well, Brother Peebles, you know that on a minister's salary, ORU is very expensive. And see, this guy is so developed in his faith in certain areas. And like all of us, I said all of us, there's these areas where we're not 100-fold. And so we were pumping him up too. He gets his faith in gear. He goes down there with his daughter and they try. Turns out she gets the highest scholarship package that's ever been awarded. She got the Anna Vaughn School of Nursing scholarship. They showed me the bill, less than $600 for the entire year.
Glory.
I'm talking her room, her food, her books, less than $600. Now that is a miracle any way you cut it. And the letter said, thank you for encouraging me to even try. I wonder how many would-be missionaries there are that never even tried. I wonder how many businessmen would be successful that fear said, don't even try. I wonder how many homes are not possessed, not even trying. How many airplanes are not being flown by God's people instead of perverts? Because God's people wouldn't even try. I looked in the back of an airplane one time, and I was, you know, I just look at airplanes. I look back there, and it just vexed my spirit, man. I looked in there, and there was a penthouse, a Playboy. There was just dirty magazines in there. And I backed away. I said, God, I said, you didn't create airplanes for perverts to fly around in. I said, you created airplanes for God's people to own. I said, I'll have one of these one day. And when they look in mine, they'll see Charisma magazine. They'll see Bibles. They'll see tapes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They'll see God stuff.
That's right.
But you're not going to get it by sitting at home just, oh, the world's terrible. The world's going to hell. Oh, dear God. You know, you got to get out there and wrestle for it. Praise God.
Amen.
Look what he says here. Romans 4, 17. Who quickeneth the dead. Do you believe God can raise the dead?
Yes.
You better. Your future's hinging on it. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now look at Abraham. Who believed, who against hope believed in hope. I mean, in the natural there was no hope, but in the spirit there was hope. See that? There's different kinds of hope there. That he might become. Circle the phrase. That he might become. You got to begin to call it, that it might come. Call it, that it might come. Kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Come here, kitty. Blessing, blessing. Come here, blessing. Computer, computer. Come here, computer. Digital audio tape machine, come to me. I need one of those right now. See, I mean, you know, we're just starting our radio ministry, and we're battling our way into it. Thank God that y'all came to this conference. I mean, I think this is a pretty amazing group for the daytime sessions. Really, it's blessed my heart. But I mean, we have to borrow some of the equipment now that we're using to produce our radio programs. Start with what you have or start with what you don't have.
Amen.
But I mean, $2,000, and somebody might just take up this as your project. We need $2,000 to buy what they call a DAT machine, which I know you don't know what that is, but it's a machine I need for radio, and I need two tape decks. We have to borrow those items now from a church that's kind enough to let us use them, but how many of you believe that God would have us to have our own?
Right.
I'm not going to borrow it forever from them. So somebody, you know, you might just be a blessing, write a check for $2,000 today, give it to Jeff, give it to me, and we'll put it to work for gospel radio. But we're calling it. I'm calling it in the Spirit. Who against hope, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. Did you know there's different kinds of faith? Weak faith, strong faith. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. In other words, he didn't look at his body and say, well, my body's dead. My body will never produce a child. He didn't do that. He says, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look over and Sarah. I mean, can you imagine in the natural? I mean, let's just get real. Abraham and Sarah looking at each other. You know, when you get to 100, they just say, about 100. Amen. Look at the verse. It says, when he was about 100. Amen. You just quit counting after 100. They're about 100. And can you imagine them just looking at each other, just, right, father of many nations. Probably kill us. Look at verse 20. He staggered not. He staggered not. There's a lot of believers that stagger. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now this will help you right here, mark it. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you know how to get your faith strong? Start giving God some glory. Instead of going around worrying, turn worry inside out. Just take that same energy that's in the form of worry and start saying, glory to God, I'll have a digital audio tape machine. Glory to God, I'll have two commercial grade tape decks. Amen. Not the Kmart versions, I'm talking commercial grade. Oh, I just give you glory. Thank you, Jesus, I'll have them. That causes your faith to be strong. Instead of walking, oh, I don't have them. Probably won't ever have them. Maybe we can get a used one down at the pawn shop. Who are you kidding? They can keep it. Oh, we get a brand new one right out of the box. Smell new. Verse 20. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. See, that's part of faith. You've got to get persuaded. What do you want? I said, what do you want? Get persuaded. What do you want out of life? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised. Get your eyes on the promises. What God had promised, he was able also to perform. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to take about 10 more minutes here and then we'll be through. Are you learning something? I'd rather be here than the finest restaurant in town. Because I'm eating better. Deuteronomy 28. Now I'm shifting gears here. And in your notes, I want you to write this down. We want to talk about the details of the blessings. We want to talk about the details of the blessings. Or another way to say that is the blessings detailed. Say, well, what are those blessings? Well, thank God that there's a passage. Some of you know about this chapter already. Some of you perhaps have never seen it. Patriarchs knew the secret they knew for getting those blessings going. And then we're actually going to have a blessing workshop tonight. But Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter. Maybe the top of that chapter says it for you. It talks in detail about the blessings and the curses. It talks in detail about the blessings and the curses. Now, honey, do not pray and decree anything beyond verse 14. Amen. If you don't know that, just trust me. Some of you know about this chapter already. Some of you perhaps have never seen this. Either way, you need to get your mind on what are the blessings. How many of you would like to just know what are the blessings? Huh? I mean, you can't really start getting your faith out there and calling Kitty if you don't know that Kitty's out there. Deuteronomy 28, and at the same time, if you would, mark this with a pen or a piece of paper. Go to Galatians 3. We're going to go there in a moment, not right now, but I want you to find Galatians 3 and get that ready. And I'm going to show you an amazing connection in your Bible that will change your life forever. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28, first of all. And then in a moment, we're just going to whip over to Galatians 3. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to give you this revelation. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. And tonight, I'll just tell you tonight, here's where we're going to go tonight. What time do we meet tonight?
Seven.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the patriarchal secret for releasing the blessings of God. I'm going to teach you about what the patriarchs knew, the secret they knew for getting those blessings going. And then we're actually going to have a blessing workshop tonight. But Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter, maybe the top of that chapter says it for you. It talks in detail about the blessings and the curses. It talks in detail about the blessings and the curses. Now, honey, do not pray and decree anything beyond verse 14. Amen. If you don't know that, just trust me. You don't want to have anything beyond verse 14. Well, I think it's of some benefit and merit to understand what the curses are, because that helps you to decide what you don't want. So let's just hit a few of those, but beginning with verse 16. Look how every verse almost begins, curse it, curse it, curse it. It says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, verse 16, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Let me just paraphrase that for you. No matter which way you turn, curses will be there. The big city, the small town, you can't get away from it. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now see, he's talking in farmer terminology here. A farmer has a storehouse or a granary, and he also has a basket what he eats out of. All right, he's saying, for us that would be like your checking account, your savings account, or whatever. Most of you don't have granaries at home. You may have a cupboard, but that's about as far as it goes. But he says, you'll be cursed in your basket, your savings, and you'll be cursed in your storehouse. Or the storehouse is the granary. Verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. How many of you realize your body has fruit? We're not just talking children. Children is part of that. But did you know your body has intricate chemical and enzyme balances that can determine your mental state, can determine your whole outlook, can determine your health? Look at verse 19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Look at verse 20. Now, it says the Lord shall send. But you need to understand that the Lord is not the causative agent. You know who's the causative agent? See, in the King James, it sounds like the Lord's up there slinging these lightning bolts down on you. Need to understand that you put yourself in disobedience. You put yourself in a position of sowing and reaping. I guess if you want to look at it that way, you could say, well, the Lord sent it. The truth is, when the Lord created the law of sowing and reaping, you get what you sow. Yes, it's God's law, but you set it in motion by what you sow. Do you understand that? See, so go back to verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He's told you what to do, but if you want to just be stubborn, get yourself over into the law of sowing and reaping on the negative side of things, then you're the one that sets that into motion. But verse 20 says, vexation, rebuke. Look at the end of verse 20. Because of the wickedness of thy doings. See, it's your fault, not God's fault. The wickedness of thy doings. Look at verse 21. Pestilence. I'm going to go quick now. Follow me. Verse 22. Consumption. Fever. You ought to mark some of these. Consumption. Fever. These are not from God. These are curses. Inflammation. Extreme burning. Sword. Blasting. Mildew. Go down to verse 27. The botch. Everybody say, that's not for me. Whatever it is, we don't want it. The botch. Emrods. We know those aren't from God. The scab. The itch. Until thou canst not be healed. Look at verse 28. We laugh at these, but this would be awful. Madness. Blindness. Look at verse 29. Mark it. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Verse 30. Did you know adultery and divorce is a curse? Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You'll build a house and not dwell there. Somebody else gets it. Look at verse 32. Your children will be carried away captive. You'll be looking for them all the day. They'll just be gone. That's a curse. Look at verse 33. Oppressed, crushed. Go down to verse 42. For the farmer, a locust will come and consume. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
Look at verse 45. Lest you think that God's just, you know, some kind of wicked God, he just repeats it over. Look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou, circle the word thou, it's your fault. See, thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments. Verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. We ought to be so thankful for what God's given us. You say, well, Jason, I don't have much. Honey, you've got more. I'm telling you, poor people in this country have more than some of the rich people in other countries have. I've been there. And don't you go tell somebody in another country that poverty is a blessing because they won't listen to you. You know, there's some churches and religions that say, well, just go and teach them how to be poor. Listen, it's not a blessing to raise your children on a dirt floor somewhere with germs crawling all over them. They don't want that any more than you would want it. It's a curse. Verse 47, we ought to have gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. One of the ways to bring the curses on you is to quit giving God glory and thankfulness. Look at verse 48, hunger, thirst, nakedness. On and on you go. Verse 61 is a catch-all verse. Look at that. Also every sickness, verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not even written in the book of this law. I mean, that gives room for viruses and germs to mutate and to become things that nobody knew about at that time. But hallelujah for the blessings. We don't want to end up on the curses. The blessings. Everybody say the blessings.
The blessings.
Go back to verse 1. We're talking about the blessings of God detailed. The blessings of God itemized. Chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass if, circle the word if. See, that's important. If thou shalt hearken diligently into the voice. That's why I teach a lot on the voice of God. You've got to be able to hear the voice of God to walk in the blessings to its fullest. Thou shalt hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high, not low. Mark it. High. You'll be above, not beneath. High, above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, hallelujah, mark it. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken. Here it is again. Mark it. To the voice of the Lord thy God. See, it's just the reverse. Look at verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Whether you're in the big city, the little town, you'll be blessed. Big school, little school, you'll be blessed. Look at verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your enzymes, your hormones, your children, the produce of your physical body can be blessed. God can get your body chemistry back right. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 6. When you come in and when you go out. Verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be defeated. Instead of you being defeated, they'll be defeated. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He'll even help you to be a holy person. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people. He'll even work on your character and help you to get His attributes in you.
Amen.
Verse 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Not just a few things, plenty of goods. Everybody say plenty of goods.
Plenty of goods.
Everybody say plenty of stuff.
Plenty of stuff.
Everybody say a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Whew, just call Kitty and a bunch of kitties come. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Go to verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. See, the farmer wants rain, but you could just interpret that whatever you do. Some of you work maybe at a factory, or some of you work at a department store. I mean, he'll rain on your land. Whatever you do, he'll rain on it. And mark it. Verse 12. Bless all the work of thine hand. They're going to give somebody promotion. Why not you?
Yeah.
If they won't promote you, then God will show you a new door and he'll put you somewhere that you will get blessed. Thou shalt lend unto many nations and not borrow. Did you know when you support a ministry like this one, you're lending to the nations?
Right.
So, I mean, if you just lend to the nations, what does that mean? I'm supposed to give, you know, China a personal loan. Did you know when you support a ministry like this, you enable us to serve missionaries in over 30 nations, and you enable us to put on radio broadcasts and send out tapes and send out literatures, you're giving your money, as it were, to the nations. You need to do that. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to start giving on a regular basis into this ministry. I mean, if you eat at Shoney's, where do you pay? McDonald's? If you're being blessed here, then sow into here. And verse 13, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only and not beneath. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to conclude with Galatians. Hold your finger in Deuteronomy, but flip over to Galatians. Some of you say, I just don't know if I qualify for this, Jason. Oh, there you are, back again, measuring yourself by yourself. There you are again, just basing everything on how good you are. That's exactly what the devil would like to get you in. The devil would like to come in over and say, well, after all, Martha, I'm just use you because you're sitting on the front row. After all, Martha, you really don't deserve the blessings. You really don't. I mean, you know, you tied your husband's socks in two knots. You know, whatever. And I'm just, or Natalie, you really don't deserve the blessings. You don't? I mean, you know, you forgot your quiet time 3 days last week. How can you be blessed if you forget your quiet time? And, you know, these are subtle things that Christians fall into. Is Jason preaching against quiet times? No. But if you're measuring whether you are going to have a good day, well, I didn't have my quiet time today, so the day's shot.
Go ahead now.
I mean, who are you measuring your life by, yourself or Jesus?
Go ahead, brother.
Look at Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Mark it in your Bible. Christ hath redeemed us from all those curses we just read. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Mark it, verse 14. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. It's not through your good efforts, it's through what Jesus did. When Jesus hung on that cross, He not only took our sins, He took every curse we just read. The fever, the botch, the itch, blindness, madness, adultery. He took every penalty for sin. Why? That we might be blessed.
Yes, amen.
That's why Ephesians 1:3 that we started out on could say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And see how faith is tied in? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the inheritance that comes by the Spirit, through faith. Through faith. Have you learned something?
Yes. Yes.
You have a heritage of blessing. You have a heritage of blessing. Wrestle for it. Make decrees. I declare. I'll be. I'll tell. Do tell. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for the Word of God that is so clear. We thank You, Father, for faith. I feel faith is being imparted right now to those who are listening. Faith comes by hearing. I feel that there are those here, Lord, that came in discouraged or downcast, or they've been having problems the past week. And Lord, now their faith meter is on 100%. Lord, may they go out and do what we've said. Be enforcers, declarers, decreers. May we be those that are found that call things that be not as though they were. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.